now request the children to go for the Sunday school for the children's program. Lois, please bring them to the room. The believer's quiet time is a private devotion time that is set aside for the purpose of cultivating a rich spiritual life. It is an appointment with God. I have three questions for you before we begin this message, and as we would consider the words of the psalmist, I would like you to think and reflect upon your own spiritual life, your own quiet time. How is it? The first question, how consistent is your quiet time? How consistent is your quiet time? Would you consider your quiet time to be an appointment with God that has certain regularity and consistency, whereby you find that you are able to receive help from God, wisdom from God, to go through life? And I say this with great burden, because the older we get, you find that the weaker you will become. And, you know, there will come a time in our lives where you find that the memory begins to become weak. In the sense that your mind seems to be weaker, your ability to focus seems to be weaker, your ability to meditate and think and focus becomes weaker. Well, it is in those times that you find yourself becoming alarmed. You need help. But if you have not stored, in a sense, in taking time to meditate upon the Word of God in your lifetime, in the times when you have the leisure to be focused and be able to take time to allow God's Word to imbibe in your heart, then you'll find that as age catches up, it becomes tougher. This year, we saw one of our folks leaving us, 80 years old. 80 years old, celebrated her birthday about 3 months ago, and about 1.5 months ago, she left us. And those last year of the life, last weeks, last months of her life, you find there was a struggle. The struggle with the reality that we are not in charge of our life. We are losing control of our physical senses. We are losing control of life as it were. And you find yourself suddenly very vulnerable and weak. And you would want during those times to have that kind of assurance in your heart, to know that the Lord is with you, and that you have that strength in your heart to not worry, to not fear. It may be yourself. It may be your loved one. And the Lord wants us to be prepared, even for our young people. You find that there are many physical weakness that can befall young people. And suddenly when these things strike us, we realize that we are not prepared for life. We are not prepared to face the trials that come our way. And this can be very real. While we think that we are okay, while we think that we are in charge, while we think that we are able to do what we want to do, we realize that a time can come, and God can allow it, where you find that you lose a hold on life itself. And there will be a shaking, an awakening, a spiritual awakening that you experience. And the Lord wants us to be prepared for life. The Lord wants us to know that He is with you, and that He is able to help you, because He is the giver of your life. The Bible tells us that in Him, Jesus Christ, is life. In Him is life. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, in your life, there is that life that the Spirit of God gives to you. Effervescing life. You know it yourself. And you have that strength to go through the trials. You have the strength to endure the pain. You have the strength to endure the suffering that God allows us to go through. But when we go through this, you'll find that you're not fidgety, but you know that the Lord is with you. And how can we do so? Well, the believer's quiet time is that particular time that God allows you to move from a state of stress to a state of rest. The cultivation of a calm spirit in the peace and joy of God is the frame of a man in touch with God. There is that calmness. There is that strength that is in you, within you. The believer's quiet time is the high point of private worship. And the Lord wants us to know, the Lord wants us to take time to cultivate that blessed spiritual life that God has for you. So we want to think, as we meditate, the three questions. How consistent is your quiet time with it? And you have a regular time with God that you set aside. And we want to think about these things, because that's how we are able to have strength to live life. It's only in the quiet of a meeting like this, where you take time out, that you prepare for the trials, to face the temptations that comes life's pathway. And none of us will be spared. All of us will face our fair share of trials, of temptations. it is in those times that God wants us to be strong. And so, what are the common distractions to your quiet time? What are the common distractions to your quiet time? When you try to seek God, what are those things that cause you to be drawn away from God, from your time with God? And we know ourselves, we know how we live our life, and so it's personal. These questions are to be answered in a very personal way. All of us have to do so for ourselves, for our benefit, in other words. So we are taking time for our benefit, to prepare our hearts for our spiritual enjoyment. Share a blessing you receive in your quiet time recently. Well, we can have a testimony time later. If you have something that you'd like to share, and do so. How God spoke to you during the time when you are quiet before Him, and how He gave you the strength to handle life. We have been spending time reading the Bible, 365 day devotional Bible for the last 2 years. We have those among you, I think there are quite a number of you, we have about 7 who have completed reading the 365 days devotional Bible, and we have quite a number of you who are here with us reading, who have read, and we have given to you a bookmark certificate for completion of your spiritual endeavor. But it doesn't stop there. I will encourage you to carry on reading. Today we are going to launch a new a book for next year. We are going to study the book of Proverbs. And we have a devotional book that we have prepared for you. 365 days. Those of you without a copy, please raise your hand. Those of you without a copy, can someone help to distribute to them? Those who are without a copy, those who are without a copy. We said that the Lord wants us to be able to have strength to live life. But how to do so? You need the tools. Our second message, tools of the trade. What to do? How to help yourself? So we want to take time so that we may be able to read God's Word, so that we may be able to take time to prepare ourselves, so that we may be spiritually empowered, strengthened for life. And the book of Proverbs, we said, is a book for all seasons. A book for all seasons. We said that no book in the Bible searches our hearts more than the Proverbs. Pithy sayings that are put together for us, and I would recommend you, because I have gone through, read many, many books on the book of Proverbs, but this is a very good one, the best I've ever read, and I'd like to commend this to you for the year of grace 2018. And if we take time, you'll find that, you know, you will be able to make a summary each time. I made a summary myself for each day. Write 3-4 sentences to summarize the passage. And it has helped. I find it very good. And I want to encourage you to take time, and you'll find that it speaks about all things pertaining to the Christian life that will be beneficial to our soul to help us. And so we have these three questions that we want to we'd like you to meditate and think about. The believer's quiet time is the high point of private worship. The elements of private devotion are prayer and the reading and meditation of God's Word. And we're going to talk about this. What is God's message for me today? Have you asked yourself this question before you launch into the day? What is God's message for me? The believer's quiet time must not deteriorate to be a regimen. You just go through the motion. It doesn't stick anywhere in your mind or in your heart. We need to cultivate it such that there is the excitement and delight of the soul in the pursuit of God. Because that's where we receive blessings from God. And yet, you find that there is a need to have self-discipline to cultivate the habit of lifelong devotion to God. And we cannot say it more urgently, especially for our younger folks here. One day, you're going to have to lead your own family. One day, you're going to have to bring up your own children. One day, you're going to carry heavy responsibilities that God would place upon your shoulders. How can you be prepared? Well, we need to begin now. It's not too early. If we are not prepared, then it is indeed a future recipe for disaster. And that's why we need to take time. The Lord wants us to take time. Be serious. Cultivate. As Christians, we are to live above this world. The problems and difficulties of life must not rob the joy and peace in our hearts. The devotion time is a time of self-examination. What is self-examination? Well, it involves the confession of sin. It involves making right with God, where the Holy Spirit points out to us our deficiencies when we meditate upon God's Word. It is a time of spiritual renewal. But I dare say that there are few young men and women, few older men and older women who are truly led by the Spirit. Very few would choose to walk that narrow way that leads to life. And few would set their affections on the things of God. And few would choose to take up the cross to follow Christ. And I speak this statement with great sorrow in my heart. But I believe that
This is meat food. We have to say this.
And I'd like to illustrate the believer's quiet time by the character for blessedness. This Chinese word, Fu. The Chinese word Fu is a very interesting word. On this side, on the left side, on your left side, is the radical for God. The radical for God. And on the right side, one mouth or one man in a garden. One man in a garden with God. That's blessedness. When a man is in close connection with his Creator, this is true blessedness. And the believer's quiet time brings us to the source of our blessedness. The believer's quiet time brings us to the source of our quiet blessedness. When a man is in close connection with his Creator God, this is true blessedness. Therefore, the believer's quiet time brings us to the true source of blessedness. And the source of all our blessings is none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord. Next slide. I have this chorus, which I hope you would learn if you have not already know it. Only Jesus, only Jesus. The tune goes like this. Only Jesus, only Jesus, only He can satisfy all my burdens. I'll turn to blessings when I know my Lord is nigh. Shall we sing together? Only Jesus, only Jesus, only He can satisfy. Every burden is turned to blessing when I know my Lord is nigh. Amen. How do we cultivate the strength of God? How can we cultivate strength with God? The psalmist in Psalm 63 testifies to us that his soul is being satisfied as with marrow and fatness. His soul is flourishing. It's strong. There is strength in it. The psalmist used the word marrow and fatness to describe the strength of that soul. And his mouth shall praise God with joyful lips. That's very important. We want to live our life joyful. And God wants us to be joyful when we live our life. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstances that comes. And we do so when we draw nigh to God. And oftentimes we don't know why things happen as they happen. The mysterious, providential will of God. And we need to be able to understand God's will, God's purpose. That God will not do us harm. He will not place us in harm's way. When we have committed our souls to Him, it will be forever. And so, for the psalmist, he says that when he draw nigh to God, his soul is strengthened. And when we draw nigh to Jesus, every burden is turned to blessing. Now let us sing the chorus again. Only Jesus, only Jesus, only He can satisfy. Every burden becomes a blessing when I know my Lord is nigh. Only Jesus, only Jesus, only He can satisfy. Every burden is turned to blessings when I know my Lord is nigh. How does the Christian cultivate the habit of a regular quiet time? The psalmist David was trained in the pursuit of godliness by the providence of God in the wilderness. The next slide. In verse 1 of our text, it says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. What did he say? Well, or what happened to him? He was a fugitive, living in constant threat to his life. It was there in the wilderness that he was taught the lesson of spiritual discipline, to be constantly in touch with his God, and how he wrote many psalms recounting his spiritual encounters with God. David learned how to deal with his emotions, with his depression, with his weariness in the wilderness. You remember when God brought Egypt out, or God brought Israel out of Egypt? Where did God place them en route to the promised land? The wilderness. There was barrenness, there was deadness all around them. And they had to learn how to cling on to God. Right? God said to them, build a tabernacle. When they look inward, the tribes are all to align themselves, camp themselves around the tabernacle. All the 12 tribes. When they look inward, what did they see? They saw the glory of God. A pillar of cloud by day, fire by night. And when they look out, what did they see? Death, darkness, wilderness. Fearful, dreadful fear. And the Lord wants us to, if the Lord can bring us through our trials so that we may draw close to Him, that we may understand that He's the giver of our life. In Him is life. And so this first thought that the Lord wants us to see, the lesson that was learned, He says, O God, Thou art my God. Early were I seek Thee. Early were I seek Thee. What does it show? It showed to us a determined heart. Early will I rise up to seek Thee, to be found in Thy presence, because I see that as an eternal benefit for me. I see that as something that I need for my soul's health. And so he says, this text tells us a determined heart. And the word there, early, right, is in what we call in the original the intensive stand to speak about that earnest seeking, the great intensity, the great seeking and desiring after God. With great intensity. Sometimes we don't, you know, when we are too comfortable. We think we don't need God. And that's the danger with life today. You can print money out of thin air and chalk up debt. And today, nations of the world are voting to get what they call helicopter money. You will be given money for your expenses. Switzerland went for that referendum. Shot down. I know of another country that has approved it. Does it help the human soul? Doesn't help. The Bible tells us, if you don't work, you don't eat. The idle mind, the idle soul is a devil's workshop. And all this affluence that is around us seem to cause the people to be so drunken with material wellness that they didn't realize the depravity of their spiritual state. And it is so intoxicating, this materialistic world, this world of enjoyment. We are not saying here that, you know, you cannot take a break, you cannot enjoy life as God would give to us. No. We are saying that to be so drunken with establishing a life on this earth that you don't realize that there is an eternity. Death can come knocking on you suddenly, anytime. You know, you go to the graveyard, you see two numbers there. The year of your birth and the year of your death. We're all living in that in-between time. When will be the date, you know, where it will be cast in stone? We don't know. And we think that we are able, today scientists seem to have many breakthroughs. You can redevelop an organ, a damaged organ. And men think that they have the solution to eternal life. That's a deception. And the Lord wants us to not to be distracted. And the psalmist tells us here, right, that there is that hunger and thirsting after God, after the things of God. It's a sure sign of an awakened conscience to the need of the soul. If your soul has no realization of your spiritual need, you really are in spiritual great danger. One man who lived during the time of the awakening, he described the soul of a man hanging on a thread below hellfire, hanging on the thread. Anytime you can fall into it, so dangerous, and you know, we don't realize the precarious nature of our situation. We are still, you know, thinking that no problem, no problem. He realized his need for God. He says, "Early will I seek thee." And he confessed, "My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." There is that thirst and hunger after the things of God, things that matter. You see, there are so many things that blind us to the reality of what matters for us that we could not tell anymore. We are caught up in the rut, in the rat race. The next slide. As the heart panteth after the water brooks. C.H. Spurgeon, a man who lived a century ago, he made this very interesting observation. He says, "A camel does not pant after water brooks because it carries its own water within." There was a cop series in the Creation magazine that featured the camel, and how, you know, the camel does not store or has a store of resources, as it were, water, right, in its hump or in itself. It is able to regulate its temperature. It's not like us. They don't perspire, as it were, lose water like we do. Is able to survive in a desert place. We are not spiritual camels, but we are our spiritual life. Right? Our spiritual life. Right? We are like deer's heart, but the heart does. It has no inward resources. After being hunted on a hot day, it has no inward supply. It is drained of its moisture. So are we. We do not carry a store of grace within our own on which we can rely. We need to come again and again and again to the divine fountain and drink of the eternal spring. Hence, it is because we have a new life, and that life is dependent on God, and has all its fresh springs in Him. Therefore, we pant and thirst after Him. You know that He gives you the life. He knows that He gives you the way in which you can avoid the mind, the spiritual pitfalls in life. One day, in our weakness, right, when we are not alert, we can step on a spiritual landmine and we get hurt badly. So the Lord wants us to see, and the psalmist is able to do so. He realizes that he's like a heart. He's like a little deer. And the Lord wants us to know, like the psalmist, he knew that the Lord is with you, able to help you, to strengthen you. And so he says, early will I seek thee. There was a missionary about 100 years ago called Hudson Taylor. He reached out to the Chinese people. And today you see the prosperity of China, the growth of churches. Where did it come from? Well, there were men and women who hazarded their lives to share the gospel. And he shares his testimony why he maintains his daily quiet time. He says, in a dark moment in his life, while he was in the mission field, he says, doesn't matter how great the pressure lies, whether it comes between you and God, or whether it presses you nearer his heart. As you pray today, and you seek the Lord, shift your shoulders to God. He can handle it. He cares about you. Turn this quiet time of devotion into a pressure relief experience. He says that I'm in trouble. What to do? That tension, we are able to bring it to God, and in return, the Lord gives to us a solution. You may not have an answer, but there is an assurance in your heart that God gives to you that you can't see ahead, but God can see for you. And He gives to you the wisdom, the understanding to be able to handle it. We're going to take a break now. Let us pray. Father, may Thou be gracious to bless us as we take a break for refreshment. Bring us back again later. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a break. We will come back again. About 10 minutes. 10 to 15 minutes. We have cake. Coffee, tea and cake prepared for you. Please avail yourselves to them outside.